Hi there, listener, and welcome to the second in our annual look at the best snow sports equipment available for winter 2026. Firstly, we looked at the best skis for the new season, and today we're covering the best ski boots. Before, in future episodes, we'll look at helmets, goggles, gloves and socks. Now, as regular listeners will know, Tyrol is the main sponsor of the Ski Podcast, but I'm delighted to announce that this special episode has been made possible by the Profeet Ski Boot Lab. I've personally been going to Profeet ever since they opened in 2001. As well as the Ski Boot Lab, they offer an amazing service for runners. I've been wearing their custom insoles for all of my marathons and ultramarathons. We'll come on to what they offer skiers later, but for now, I'd like to thank them for making this episode possible. Now, my name's Ian Martin, host of the Ski Podcast, but I'd like to introduce the man who's going to guide us through today. Regular listeners will know him well. He is the equipment expert, not just for the Ski Podcast, but also for Full Line Magazine and The Telegraph. Welcome back, Al Morgan. Hi, Al. How are you today?
I'm all right. Thank you, Ian. Good morning and thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. I know you've been working really hard. Have you put the Full Line gear guide to bed now? Is that about to go to print?
Yeah, well, that's gone to print. That should land with reader subscribers this week, maybe next week. So yeah, so that's exciting to get that done. And more things coming for this winter.
And just remind me, how many different items have you covered in that Full Line gear guide?
We talk about around 500 bits of kit. So skis, boots, clothing, goggles, basically anything to do with skiing.
So, you know, although we cover a lot in these episodes ourselves, there's no way we cover 500 items. So, listener, you know, you can have a look for that if you want to get an even deeper insight into equipment. Now, secondly, for his first time on the show, I'm delighted to welcome Fraser Shand, who's operations manager at Profeet. Hi, Fraser. How are you?
Good morning, gents. I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about your role at Profeet.
Oh, I do everything from helping with the buy to boot fitting on the floor to paying people. It's encompasses all roles. So yeah, busy time of year.
I am absolutely sure that it is. Now, I know at this time I often ask our guests when they last skied or snowboarded. I know Al's was in a snow dome. Don't think that's changed. Same for me. What about yourself, Fraser? When were you last on snow?
April, start of April this year. We were in Hadfjell in Norway. So a little slushy at times, but beautiful part of the world and some fantastic skiing.
Oh, we're all looking forward to this winter. Before we start, I'd just like to clarify, you know, when we're talking about 2026 in relation to equipment, what I mean is winter 25-26. This kit is available now. Also, we want this episode to be as useful as possible to a wide range of listeners, not just people who are really into ski boot tech already. So what we're going to do is cover a few of the key terms. Now, if you know your way around a ski boot already, or if you listened last year, you might not need to listen to this section. So by all means, skip ahead. But if I definitely want a refresher. So Al, let's tackle a few key questions. We're looking at terminology. You're going to be discussing a lot of these things when we look at the boots themselves. So I wondered if we could just tick a few of them off. Firstly, what do we mean by the shell?
Yeah, I love it with these things straight away. Go, oh, well, this can be really complicated. So in the basic form, the shell is just that. Think of an egg and the shell's the tough outer. Same thing for a ski boot. However, the shell can be split into two bits. The bit around the leg, which we call the cuff, and the bit around the foot, which also sometimes specifically gets called the shell. Some people call it the clog, but really the shell is the bit around your foot and the cuff is the hard plastic around your leg.
Okay, cool. Another word you might mention is the last or last, which is not something most people are going to associate with footwear. What does that mean?
Every time you say that, I have Colin Martin in my head going, the last comes first. It's funny. So the last is basically, we're talking about the width across the front of the foot, just behind the toes, that width there. So that gives us an indication of the kind of foot size, shape, or volume that may fit. There's loads more going on. It's generally done. So we'll talk about sizing in a moment, because obviously I've seen what we're going to talk about today. So I know that's coming. But in a 26 and a half shell, that's generally, most brands use that as their reference size. So a narrow last maybe 97, 98 mil across there. And then a medium might be 9900 and then higher volume, maybe 101, 102 or more, a wider last. How you measure that in the shell, where you do it, top, bottom, middle, inner, outer, et cetera, is a much bigger topic. We're not getting into that.
Okay, so, you know, we're establishing that, you know, depending on the size of your foot, there are different lasts that you can pick that are going to fit you. You mentioned size just then, and you said 26 and a half. Now, most people, I don't know anyone who's got a 26 and a half size foot. So what are we talking about there? This is something called Mondo Point, right?
Correct, yeah. Mondo Point, you'll often just see it as MP, so 26.5 MP. This is the centimetre sole length, so the centimetre length measurement of your bare foot. So when Fraser or anybody's doing a boot fit, myself included, because I still boot fit, then we're going to measure the foot and see what size boot will fit in. So often people will talk about a conversion. So let's say, oh, I'm a 7.5, I'm going to be in a 26.5 boot, or I'm an 8, I want to be in a 27, or you know, that doesn't actually work because the vast majority of brands, a 26 and a 26.5 Mondo Point boot is exactly the same boot. No difference. Exactly the same. And then you get a spacer in the box. So for those watching on YouTube, I'm holding up a thin piece of foam. And it just goes in to take out some volume space. So all that's doing is lifting your foot up slightly. It's not shortening the length of the boot. So take these conversions with a pinch of salt. And some brands, one brand 26.5, even though this is a measurement, will be different to another brand's 26.5. And then to complicate things further, you get things like Scarpa, where a 26.5 and a 27 is the same shell. This is why we go to a good boot fit shop where they can help you and get it right, because it is not black and white.
So we've covered, you know, the shell, the last, Mondo Point, the size. Often if people go and look at a ski boot, they're going to see the brand name and then they're going to see some numbers around that. Could be typically 100, 110, 130. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, okay. I think people might get bored of me saying, take these things with a pinch of salt, you know, ski flex, stiffness, length, Mondo Point. All of these things are indicators. So the higher the number indicates how stiff those plastics are, or the construction of the boot, combination of the both typically, is. So the upper end is, in recreational boots, is now 140. It used to really be around 130. There's quite a lot of 140 flex boots. So women's will often end in a 5, so 105, a 115, a 95. And men's will often end in a 0. Not always the case, as you'll hear when we talk about some of the boots that we're talking about later on today. Yeah, it gives you an indication. So a higher number, typically going to be a bit stiffer. But if the boot doesn't fit you, it's going to not going to flex in the right way. So you could get in a softer rated flex and not be able to flex it because your foot and leg aren't matching the boot. It's not being able to articulate the cuff in there. So bear that in mind. Fit is king. Above all else, fit is king in all of this, and then functions. Once you get into racing, they drop these numbers. So it shows you that it's not, as again, these are just indicators.
That's interesting. I think we'll come back to flex because you've already said, you know, fit is king. We're definitely going to be talking about that. What about the liner? How important is that? And, you know, I guess it's kind of obvious it's going to be on the inside of the boot, but what else can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so this is the bit that is comfy. If you just stick your foot in a hard plastic boot, it's not so great, eh? And it's going to be a bit chilly. So the liner has various functions. Warmth is a really important one, you know, you're in a cold mountain environment. And then it's made of foams and stiffening materials. And depending on the level of liner, you know, if you're going to be in a stiff boot, more performance, you might have a stiffer foams in the liner. But the liner also forms part of the rigidity and support of the boot. So some of the stiffness that we talk about, that flex rating, is dictated by the liner. And you can swap liners out. You can put foam injected liners in. You can put aftermarket liners like Intuition or Seedus liners in. So, but comfort, warmth, and fit are an integral part of that liner construction.
Sorry, that's interesting. You're saying to me that the flex of the boot can be determined by the liner as well, not just the shell.
It's certainly be impacted. See, if anybody has a ski boot on, or is it, unless you're completely new to skiing, and I doubt you're probably listening to this if you are, but even if you are, ski boot liners have a tongue that goes up the front of your foot. The vast majority, there are wraps, but that tongue will generally have plastic in it, and that plastic is stiff. So if you didn't have the plastic in there, then the flex of the boot would be different to if you have that stiff plastic tongue. So they impact the flex of the boot.
One thing we're definitely going to be talking about, you know, to us, I guess it was new last year, really. It's been incorporated even further into ski boots in the year since then. And this is what we might call the BOA revolution. We have covered this in previous episodes of the podcast. Did an excellent podcast back in the summer where we were dealing with Q&As and specifically to this. But do you just want to tell us what the BOA system is, Al?
Yes. So BOA has been around for a long time. It was started, I can't even remember that, 20 years ago, maybe a long time ago, with K2 and snowboard boots. It's been in snow sports footwear for a long time, but probably three seasons ago now. It's hard because I'm looking at next season and just keeping track of seasons is sometimes difficult this time of year. So this is specifically designed for alpine ski boots. It was new then. It's called the H+ I1. H+ because it's their strongest cable system that they've got. I because you can dial in increments in and out, so tension it tighter and looser in increments. And one because it's the first iteration. So it was just around the shell, that bottom part of the boot that wraps the foot, and it gives amazing wrap in there. And for this season, we have BOA not only on that bottom part, the clog, the shell, but also on the cuff. And what a technical challenge if you're going to put it on the cuff. Normally you open your one or two buckles in the power strap that's on the cuff, you open it out, step in. Now if you've got cables running around the front of the boot, how do you do that? So it has a system whereby you can release the cable off one of the pivots, and a lot of brands have gone in on this. It's called dual BOA, some people call it double BOA. It's the same dial and cable construction on the cuff and the shell, but the way that the cable runs on the cuff is different. And the wrap around the leg is incredible. Like, it was good around the foot, but I think it's so impressive around the leg.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Evidently, when we get on to the picks, we're going to be discussing this. A couple of other terms I just want to cover before we move on to that. The power strap. Are you going to refer to that sometimes? I mean, yeah. I guess it's pretty obvious. We're talking about a strap around the top of the boot.
Yeah, so if you've got this BOA on the cuff, or you have a classic construction where you have two buckles fastening around the front of your leg, then the power strap sits above those, and the vast majority are just a static Velcro strap. But you can also have one where it goes through a claw or a cam strap. There was a brand called Booster who had elasticated sections in the front of it, and that was amazing because it really helped with wrap and hold, and the rebound from that was brilliant. But their patent ran out, so now more and more brands are integrating some sort of elasticity into their power strap, typically in combination with that cam strap. And if you can get that on a boot, I much prefer that to a static strap, because skiing, the leg's very dynamic. That's called the power strap, and helps wrap the top of the boot and the liner around your leg.
Okay, and evidently ski boots are for skiing in, but we do have to walk in them, move around in them a little bit as well. So just two more terms that I want to cover. A lot of the brands or the particular models you're going to pick have GW in the title. That stands for grip walk. Yes. And then also some of those boots have a walk mode as well. I wondered if you just wanted to explain those two terms.
Yes. So let's talk about the sole of ski boots first. So classically, a ski boot sole has been relatively flat, could be hard plastic, could have some little rubber bits on there for a bit more grip, and has a very slight rise at the toe and heel where that step is that integrates with the binding. So that flat sole is also referred to as an alpine sole. So these are standardized, normed soles, we call those. They have numbers. I could go on the numbers, it just confuses people. I'm not going to. So flat alpine sole. And then we had touring boots. And when you are going ski touring or ski mountaineering, you know, mountaineering is in that phrase. So you're going to be walking around and you want something that's curved because it's much easier to walk in. So, and that touring sole is rubber, grippy, has a much more pronounced rocker, that curve. And there's a standard for that. And then there's been various variations on that touring norm sole, but everybody has settled on this grip walk norm. And that's like a combination of the two. It's an adaptation of a touring sole, but you have a flat hard interface under the toe that integrates with the sliding plate or the anti-friction device, the AFD, on the binding toe. That's where you want the power to drive through the ski and the binding, but you want to be able to release safely by going out sideways in a tumble. Grip walk got standardized a couple of seasons ago, so now most brands do it. The one thing that I would say in all of this, because there are other kinds of soles out there as well, which we're not going into, whenever you buy your skis, make sure that the boots that you have match that binding, and vice versa. If you're going to buy boots, make sure that they're going to work with the binding that you have. So if you have an old ski that doesn't take a grip walk sole, because you can't just step into a normal flat like a racing binding with a grip walk boot, you shouldn't do that. You can step into a grip walk binding with a flat sole, that's fine. Talk to the shop, but make sure your boots and bindings are compatible.
Yeah, that actually is relevant. I think I might have mentioned this last year, but we were some friends of mine who were skiing in a, let's just say, a small Italian resort. And in the hire shop, the only skis they had available were old style skis, and they wouldn't fit his Gripwalk boots. However, we've covered lots of different terms there. So shell, last, wonder point, flex, the liner, boa, power strap, the walk mode, those side of things. Before I move on to phrase, and we discuss that fit in a little bit more detail, I wondered, Al, if there are any new trends or changes in relation to sustainability as far as boots are concerned for this winter.
There's so much going on with sustainability, which is fantastic. A challenge with ski boots is we want specific flexes and functions in the boot. And if we're going to use the plastics in the outer and we're going to recycle plastics, we do not necessarily know the exact history of that plastic. So how can we know exactly what flex we're going to get out of the boot? So that's a challenge. Coloring is another challenge. People like coloring their boots. If it's going to be recycled boot, it's typically just black. So if we look at a brand called Phenom, so Faction Skis have Phenom boots. They're made from recycled plastic. All of their boots are black. Same with most major brands. They're lower flexes often have quite a high proportion of recycled plastics, and the lower flexes will be those black colors. I know it seems odd, but you know, different tones of black. So that's one of the challenges. But we are seeing more and more recycled plastics used. You're seeing recycled materials in the buckles, in the foams, in the liners, and in the soles as well. Technica, for example, make amazing ski boots, but they have a little QR code on the side of the boot so you can scan it. So down the line, when it comes to being recycled, the person recycling can scan that, see exactly what the components are, what the plastics are. So they're future-proofing, if you want, so that because we don't have all the recycling facilities yet, this is a journey. They're just helping further down the line. But it's amazing, you know, removal of harmful chemicals, removal of PVC from boots. It's brilliant to see where we are headed.
Okay, that's great. So before we move on to the actual boots themselves, the picks for this year, Fraser, I wondered if I could turn to you. I'm calling this section Function, Fit and Footbeds. So firstly, function. What I mean by this, listener, you know, it might be tempting, but don't buy a ski boot to match your outfit. You know, functionality is way more important than aesthetics. Now, secondly, fit. I think Al said fit is king, and we would always recommend you work with a boot fitter. And Fraser, I wondered if you could explain what happens during the fitting process at Profeet, for example.
Yeah, of course. Basically, begin getting to know you, finding out requirements, expectations, and any injury history. From there, we move on to a sort of hands-on biomechanical assessment. Layman's terms, what moves, what doesn't. And then following that, we'll take a few pressure scans, looking at how that force is distributed underneath the foot, gives us a good idea of how we'll create the footbed, which I'm sure we'll get onto, but also sort of highlights for that client what you've seen when you've done that hands-on assessment, and sort of links everything together. So as we then progress into trying some boots on, the modifications, the customizations that we implement are easier to understand, basically. From that allows us to narrow down that client's option for ski boot selection.
So that's really interesting, you're saying about the biomechanical analysis. Essentially, you're looking at the foot, you know, what its movement is like through the ankle, etc., an individual's ability to flex through the ankle, I guess. You mentioned about the foot scanning. To me, I love that stage. So you get to, as the customer, stand on these pressure pads, and then you get this incredible readout for how pressure feeds through your foot. Is that how it works?
Yeah, basically, it gives a reading of the high points of force underneath the foot, helps to highlight center of gravity, and also, depending on the system, an idea of sort of where the hip position sits. For us, it helps to give idea of if there's leg length discrepancy, if we're seeing someone who is very dominant onto one side or the other, or fore aft as well. It just gives that extra little bit of data. And, you know, for getting that boot fit as good as we can in the first instance, the more data we're able to get, the better chance of getting that 100% first time in terms of the fit.
Yeah, and that's going to feed through to the footbeds later. But, okay, you were saying after you've done the biomechanical assessment, the foot scanning, then that would direct you towards the ski boot selection, what you'd suggest. Mm-hmm. Normally, would you narrow it down to a few, or can you tell straight away if a certain boot is right for a certain person?
Certain feet fit certain boots, certainly. We mentioned colour, etc. I usually can guarantee if you like the look of a boot, it's probably not going to fit on your foot. In terms of my job, as a boot fitter, I'm there to narrow your option to allow you to make a more concise decision. If you're in a store and you've tried on more than 2-3 pairs of boots, you're not really going to know which way's up. So what we want to do is narrow down your options to 2-3 pairs. From there, we are basically sort of going to do a round robin. What feels good, what feels bad. Anyone's been to other opticians, you know, it's better, worse. Not to sound lazy, but what we're looking for is the boot that we have to do the least to. And so if we can find something that, you know, maybe a little tight in the forefoot, maybe a couple of niggly points compared to something that is pressure and discomfort, that's going to be an easier product to optimize to get it fitting you well.
Okay. And you mentioned, when we talked about the foot scan, we talked about the different pressure points. And one of the things that you focus on at Profeet, like I say, you know, for all of my running, and I've done, you know, a lot of long races, I use custom insoles in all of those. But you create custom insoles for the ski boots as well. So you've looked at where pressure is distributed. You understand the shape of people's feet. Every ski boot comes with an insole already. What are the benefits of that custom insole?
Basically, they're in the main point to distribute force, maximize comfort. By distributing that force more evenly through the foot, we're going to take those high points of pressure and allow it to be more comfortable. We're also going to improve proprioception. So from a performance point of view, we're giving the brain a bit more feedback. You're going to know where you are in time and space a little bit better, to sort of get on a slightly geekier side. But it also optimizes the foot's position within the boot. So if we can get a solid foundation in there, get that foot stable, get that foot aligned within the shell, any modification work we do on it is going to be maximized because of that. Think of it as the foundation, basically. For 99% of people, always get a footbed.
Okay, sure. And you mentioned modifications then. You know, everybody's feet are different. They don't necessarily perfectly fit. Sometimes there might be some modifications required. Do you do much customization of the boots at all? How often does that become necessary?
I'd say in the long term, because obviously we never know until we've skied them exactly what problems may occur. We stretch 80%+ of our boots. We obviously can't fit a square peg in a round hole. We need that starting point, and the modifications need to be, well, not simple, but easy to make. You know, if you've got a wide foot, you need a wide boot. We can't make a narrow boot fit a wide foot. But from stretching forefoot to give room for the toes, to stretching the ankle to give room for the ankle bones, to increasing the volume through the cuff for bigger calves, or more athletic calves, should I say. The modifications that are possible are endless. It's just having a go and getting it done.
Certainly for my ski boots, which I had fitted at Profeet, and it sounds like a medical abnormality, but I think I was told I've got a sixth toe. So you had to widen the boot out to the side on my right foot, where it just, I think I'm putting it down to having done a lot of running and I just have very, very flat feet and no arches, but that type of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So bunions, six toe or Taylor's bunion can easily be accommodated.
Well, that's brilliant, Fraser. Thanks very much for that. Let's move on to our picks then for the best ski boots of 2026. We've already established that the best boot for you is the best fitting boot that delivers the functions that you need. And there are a lot of great ski boots out there, but I gave Al the task of narrowing that down. If you've been thinking about a boot and it's not mentioned here, does it mean that it's no good? It just means that we probably didn't have time to include it because, you know, Al wanted to include more, but I said, look, you know, we've only got enough time to cover these ones. So with the thought that fit is king, followed by function, let's start, Al. What have you got on your list?
Okay, I'm just going to chip in. Before we get into that, this is hilarious. Fraser and I have crossed paths, and that's not sounding like we've been having a bonding. You know, we both work in snow sports, and I've known Fraser for a long time. He's so downplaying his skills. It's amazing. He's talking about, you know, we're looking for the easy. It's not that you want the boot to fit you as best as possible so that you know that's the right boot, and it will probably need some work on it. So if anybody's listening going, cool, they're lazy, he wants the easiest, that's not what Fraser's talking about. His skill is amazing. And he's really downplaying. Just want to put that out there. It's amazing listening to him.
Thank you.
it's just honest. So yeah, so boots, right, there's so much going on this year. We've already spoken about dual boa. There's lots of innovation, lots of newness. And as Ian says, I had quite a lengthy list of boots that I wanted to include. This would be a very long podcast. So let's not go down that route. So with that in mind, we're looking at boots that have newness or innovative and are excelling in that space. Just because we talk about a boot does not mean it's going to be the right boot for you at all. And just because we do not talk about a boot, that does not mean that is that boot that we don't talk about is no good. There are some amazing boots out there. There are no bad products. Get the one that's right for you. So that said, we're going to go. So your regular kind of downhill boot, no walk mode, so no release in the back of the cuff so that you can walk around more easily, you get greater articulation in there. I'm about to shoot myself in the foot because I am going to talk about a boot on the sidelines as a walk mode. But anyway, touring boots, free ride boots will have walk modes, which we're going to talk about them later. So Alpine, so Piste and All Mountain boots. We're going to go in descending price. Is that okay? There's no other way to split it, really, I thought. So K2. K2's had boa for a while. Yeah, they helped develop it with boa, along with a few other brands. But for this season, they have dual boa on a new line of boots called Cortex. People may have seen the Cortex boot on the Freeride World Tour last season if they were eagle-eyed, but it's out for this season. It goes up to £725 for the dual boa. So when they put dual boa on a Cortex boot, they call it zonal because the world's not confusing enough. So the zonal Cortex 120 boa, £625. You can go up to 140 flex. That has pin insets in the toe if you're going to be hiking for fresh lines on your skis. But the 120 for most people is such a good flex. This is a beefy boot. You pick it up and it does not feel like their Mindbender Freeride boots or their Anthem or Recon Piste boots. It is a hefty boot. It feels like a race boot. It is heavy. The 140 is really heavy. That's because it's got a lot of plastic in there. It's so damp, so smooth. It is brilliant. But they've done a lot of work on the liner on this boot. You've got full lace-up liner. Better heel hold in this boot than I think we've seen in other K2 boots. But also what they normally do, and most brands do with boa, they put it on a mid-volume or a higher volume boot. So we've got more space inside. That boa will help wrap it. This is a low volume. So it's a 96 to 98 mil last. They classify this as... Weight-wise, I mean, it's, you know, it's 2.2 kilos pretty much per boot, which is quite heavy. I'll talk about some other weights, so you'll get an idea. But yeah, loads of support, great fit in the liner. That dual boa gives you a fantastic wrap around the foot and leg. It looks super cool, and it skis brilliantly. They do non-zonal, so just with boa around the foot as well, but this 120 zonal is brilliant.
So the zonal, to clarify then, is a dual boa boot.
Yeah, I wish everybody just called them dual boa. That's not how we're going.
Yeah, because you think it'd be in the name. The full name is K2 Cortex Zonal 120, or, you know, in the case of that flex boa, 625, yeah. Unless you wanted the 140 flex, which comes with the pin inserts and that.
Yeah, it's £100 more. Right?
Yeah, but I think you explained to us before on a different podcast that there's extra material required with those pin inserts. And
they are so expensive to make.
And is there a patent fee that you have to pay or something for those pin inserts as well?
The main thing is to do with, there can be. So there's a company called Dynafit, and people can have Dynafit certified inserts. Dynafit makes touring product only. Yes, some are classified as free ride, but they don't do pieced and all mountain boots. So some brands will have their patent, their, you know, the Dynafit certified into it. Some won't, but they all have to satisfy certain requirements. And just to cast, the investment casting required to make those pinions hits is really, really expensive.
Okay, so your first selection, we're talking about piece all mountain alpine boots, yeah. Was a dual boa.
Mm-hmm.
What's second on your list?
Sure, I'm guessing if it's a dual boa. Yes, it is. And as I say, these boots are selected on newness, innovation, performance, fit, function, all sorts of things. So Dalbello, an Italian boot brand, been that factory. Fraser and I actually went to the factory together and a few years ago. Amazing little town that's based in. They've not done boa before and they've gone all in. So this is a new boot range called Veloci Space. They've done Veloci boots before, but this is Veloci Space 120 Dual. So again, that 120 flex. They do stiffer flexes, they do softer flexes, but I'm talking about 120 because that fits a really broad spread of consumers. It's cheaper at £580, but this is a higher volume. We spoke about the K2 being 96 to 98 mil last. This is a 101, so it's a much higher volume than most other boa boots. They do a 105 women's, which has this amazing candy color. It looks kind of cool. They do also offer these Veloci Space boots with a single boa, and those boots, the softer flexes, does have a little release on the cuff to make it easier to walk. They are not touring boots. That's not what that is about. That is about convenience, about resort. But this 120, and you can go with the 130 as well, doesn't have that walk mode. We have dual boa on there. They're PU boots, PU plastics, really damp. It's what we see in race boots. It's what we see in most upper flex boots. That's the kind of gold standard of plastics that you want. And they inject different stiffnesses of plastic around the shell, as with all of these boa boots, so that we get that uniform wrap around the foot. And one thing that's beautiful with these boots is the liner, and they put memory foam down the tongue. Lots of people get problems with pressure on their shin or shin bang on juddery terrain, or if they're doing little jumps and taking little hits like that. And that memory foam just gives you that fantastic, even though it's a heat moldable liner, it gives you that fantastic molding around that shin and just helps with that comfort, especially good if anybody's got that problem in the past where they've had shin bang.
That's the Dalbello Veloci Space 120 Dual 580. Yeah,
but no boa in the name. Though,
no boa in the name. Yeah, it's a dual, but it didn't even say boa. Right, okay. Fraser, quick question for you. You said you both went to the factory. Where is this factory for Dalbello?
In Asolo, beautiful part of Italy. Yeah, Asolo, Montebelluna. Basically where ski boots were born, pretty much.
How many ski boot brands have a factory in Montebelluna or that valley?
In terms of sort of research and development, I'd say every single brand has some sort of...
They have some facility
there or something like that.
And in terms of factory, would I be imagining like a production line with the boot at different stages moving down it? Is that how it works, Fraser?
The shell and the cuff will be created first, two separate molding machines, churning out product, really. They'll then move on to putting the boots together, basically. So it's one big flow. And as you travel around the factory, it's station versus station, basically up until you get to the point where there's a lovely group of Italian ladies screwing the buckles on. And that's sort of the one job that they do.
So even those are handmade, so to speak. That's encouraging to hear that in a modern, increasingly technical world.
Yeah, for the most part, the liner especially, it is all handmade. You know, ski boots are expensive for a reason.
That's great. Al, let's move back to you. You got one more pick in this Piston all-mountain alpine ski boot category. What is that one?
Yeah, so our Head Calibre 110 MV Boa 2. I told you, nobody standardised the name. So at least it's got Boa in there. 2 means it's got 2 dials. Calibre is a new line, and every time I talk about these, I say new, and the reason being, especially around the foot, some brands have done little kind of plates and things to adapt the boa onto the cuff, but around the foot, you have to redesign the shell to accept that dial. So every time, it's at the minute, it's a new design. So Head Calibre, They've had a formula line of boots, which I adore. The plastic in it just is so damp, gives a brilliant skiing sensation. It actually has a load of energy in there. It's fantastic. So this is designed for a similar consumer as the formula boots, but this specifically, the 110, is dual boa. Medium fit, 100 mil last. It's a little bit less. It's £510. And it's the only, Fraser, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the only 110 dual boa boot that I know of on the market.
Only 110, I think, but Atomic have done the Hawks Ultra dual boa in 100 flex.
They have 100, yeah, yeah, and a 130 as well. So, but yeah, yeah, the only 110. I'm glad I was right on that. Yeah. So
only 110 mid volume. I think, you know, it's how they managed to narrow it down.
With the skis, when we were talking about core skis, we spoke about graphene, so this kind of one atom thick layer of carbon. They put graphene in the liner. They have a new liner that they call the Synapse liner, and they have graphene in there that's just going to help with temperature regulation, is what they say. You can go all the way up to a 130 flex at £600, but this 110, that's pretty cool, because it means that you don't just have to be that upper level skier to access that flex. And as Fraser rightly points out, there are some 100 flex boots out there. 110 is a great option. I just find the fit and the way that the caliber boots ski is phenomenal. I love their kind of really understated clean aesthetic as well, and I know that isn't why you choose ski boots, but it's a happy result, isn't it, if you put your boots on and you feel kind of cool.
Oh, that's great. So that's a head caliber 110 MV Boa 2, 510, yes. Bit more affordable than the first option we had from K2. What is interesting about those Alpine boots is that all three that you've selected there are dual Boa, whether you want to call them Boa, dual Boa,
yeah,
2.
Yeah,
clearly, that technology has made a massive impression.
You know, it's really interesting. I've been playing with dual Boa boots for quite some time. I'm fortunate that, like Fraser, I get to go to factories, I get to talk to heads of boot development and things. And even when I was talking to them at the earlier stages of this, they're saying, oh, you know, we're not sure it'll be for everybody. With a buckle, you can give different tension at the top or bottom because your foot's not straight and angled. So there was a slight concern that you weren't going to be able to get that same fit, but actually the wrap and the hold that you get around the leg is very, very surprising. The one thing that I would say about dual boa that I found in testing a lot of different boots, it is sometimes a little more difficult to get your foot around that bend, the throat of the boot, on a dual boa boot, because there's so much going on. There's so much, the bottom bit of cable around the cuff, you cannot detach from the pulley. With a two clip boot around the cuff, you can open the whole thing to get in if you have a problem. You can't do that completely with boa. So that's something to know. And the other thing around the foot, it takes me 18 turns of the dial before I start to get the tension that I want. And on the leg, it takes 20. That is a lot of turning. So just something to be aware of.
Okay. Well, evidently they're good though, because they've come onto your list. Let's move on to free ride boots now. You've got a few picks here. I think we'll do it in the same way, in descending price order. So what's the first of your three picks in the free ride category?
Yeah. And there isn't boa at all in these three choices. Now, there are lots of free ride boots that have boa on them, and they are brilliant. So as I said at the start, just because we don't talk about the boot doesn't mean that's not great. So Rossignol, Alltrack. Alltrack has been such a successful family of boots for them. But last season, they brought out the Vision rear entry boot. Looked like a regular four clip, but the top buckle, when you flip that open, it also releases the cuff so it can pull back and you can slide in more easily. And they brought an adaptation of that technology to the Alltrack boots. And you might go, oh, well, why do you want a rear entry touring boot? Well, actually, what you're doing with a touring style boot or a free ride boot is you're allowing the cuff to have that movement aft and fore, and that means it can open backwards. So the line is a bit different. It's attached by a loop on top of the back of the cuff, but when you open that top buckle and you open the walk lever that is in there as well, the boot opens backwards, makes it easier to slide in. Otherwise, it looks like a regular Alpine boot. And the reason for some of this design is what they've done is when you put the buckle forward and then I'm going to say slump forward into the ski mode. Hopefully people know what I mean. You relax into the front of the boots for skiing. That ski walk mode at the back locks into place for skiing. So it just makes the whole experience a bit easier. But the LV is low volume. Their LT is because it's their light, so this has pin and tits at the toe. They do offer all tracks in a higher volume with Boa. They do it in this new design. But for me, I tested the LT. It's got pin and tits in there. I can use it with such a broad variety of bindings. I love how their dual core plastic ski. I just love the skiing sensation in there. This boot looks phenomenal. They do some amazing women's boots as well. And when I spoke about the K2, I said it was nearly 2.2 kilos. This is about 1.8 kilos. So you can see that's quite a big difference, 400 grams almost difference in a boot. 625 pounds, walk mode on it, 98 mil last. Now, take it with a pinch of salt, because even though this is a low volume boot, it has quite a lot of room in there. So if you suffer with space over the foot, but you want that narrow shape, this is a really good choice.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. Rosinol All-Track 130 Elite LVLTGW. If you've been listening so far, you know what all of that stands for. Now, your second choice, really interesting. I got to admit, I had no idea that these guys made ski boots, but there's a reason for that. Do you want to tell us what your next choice is?
Yeah, I've got a pair in here. So if anybody's watching on the YouTubes, I'm hauling it up so you can see it. It's this green Goblin boot. If anybody's not watching but just listening, it is called the Armada AR1, and this one specifically is the 130, so 130 Flex MV. So they make it in a medium volume last. And if a brand comes in and they've never done anything to do with boots, you might go, huh, what do they know? This, let's give it a few seasons. This boot was developed with the boffins at Atomic. Atomic is one of the biggest players in ski boots globally. They really know what they are doing. But it was designed by Armada. It was not designed by the boffins, but their tech and their construction know-how really came into play. Medium volume. So again, we've got this 100 mil last. The 130 has pin and tits just at the toe. And I've actually toured in this boot quite a lot. And it's impressive, but it has no walk mode. Like the Fisher Freeze that we're seeing this year, the Dalbella Krypton had pin and tits years ago. But there are more and more boots where we're seeing pin and sits just at the toe because of hybrid bindings like Duke PTs, shifts, etc. That's what this has. The lower flexes don't have the pin and sits, but £580 for a 130 flex boot. It's got a lot going on. Heat moldable shell, heat moldable liner, a bit more technical when you fit it. I believe you've got to take the tongue off to heat mold it. But I'm going to hold the boot up again because one of the things that is really special, so if anybody's looking, it has this buckle right across the top of the ankle. And it's like a Y configuration. So you have a normal buckle you can undo. And for anybody just listening, the ladder where your buckle catches goes right above the ankle. It's quite unique in its position. There's a cable that attaches horizontally backwards into the boot under the cuff, and then there's another cable that goes down to the normal buckle, which you will open and close. And the anchoring that you get in the heel because of this is brilliant. It has elastication in the power strap. It's got a claw power strap. It is a brilliant boot. There's a lot of plastic in there, so it is really, really stiff laterally, which is what you want if you are after that kind of performance free ride feel. Skis phenomenally well. New innovative buckle system. Great liner, great fit. It's pretty cool. They do different flexes. So they do a 110, which is designed for lady skiers if you want, because it goes to smaller sizes. This 130 only goes down to 24.5.
Oh, okay. And you mentioned, women's sizes. Your third pick in this free ride category is specifically a women's boot. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So Scarpa is a big name in the touring space. Now, a few seasons ago, they brought out, they had Freedom boots a long time ago for free ride. Great, fine. They had interchangeable soles. Lots of people like that. It wasn't just a self-tapping screw. It was a proper machine thread in there, so you could take the soles on and off as many times as you want. And then they brought out something called the 4 Quattro XT. And is it over the top to say it's a revelation? It was so different. You sat so low in the boot. There is one over my shoulder, a blue one. I'll point to it over there behind me if anybody's looking on the video. That has been a benchmark free ride boot, an amazing walk mode, as you'd imagine from a brand that specializes in touring product. The touring in it was phenomenal, but how it skied and that fit that you got, it had an Intuition liner, so really customizable in terms of the fit with the foam and the molding, and the Intuition's warm. XT was brilliant. Then with a free ride skier called Nico Schirmer, they did bits with Bodie Townsend as well. They brought out a pro again, bright green boot, but this is completely new. It's called the Quattro GT. They do a men's and a women's. They've dropped the XT in the line. And this is a higher volume. It's a 101 mil last. So it's quite broad in the forefoot. It is softer flex, so 90 flex for the women's, 110 for the men's. But you've still got that brilliant touring function. What's lovely with this boot, so I test a lot with a free ride skier, Fionn Townsend, who we've spoken about before, and she just said the feedback that you get from this women's boot, I'll ski the men's, but the feedback that you get and the feel for what's going on is incredible. And if you are somebody that's new to free ride skiing, or you're not that aggressive, or you're not that experienced, that kind of feedback, so you know what's going on and you can adapt and the boot is going to help you, is a real benefit. It's also a great price, £580 with the walk mode. It's quite cool.
Okay, excellent. So that's the Scarpa 4 Quattro GT women's boot.
Yeah.
Now, just a reminder to listeners, I'm going to put links in the show notes to all of these boots. And I'm pretty sure the Fraser can tell us that most of them are available from Profeet as well. We wouldn't suggest that you buy these boots online. You should definitely have them fitted.
Absolutely.
Now, Fraser, you've probably had a lot of thoughts about all of these boots. Along the way. However, I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to add to this list.
Well, I think going back to what Al said at the start of get the right boot for you rather than something just off the list is the most important. Fit is key. But I think for me this year, the Technica Mach 1 low volume as a range, really, you know, we can narrow it down to the 130 because it's orange and it looks cool. A fantastic boot. Slightly more instep depth compared to its predecessor, but the Mach 1 range, Technica have been working really closely with some boot fitters from the US, and the influence that they have in terms of the modification capabilities, the liner constructions, they really have been making some fantastic boots. And unfortunately for me, I've not skied it yet. I'm not sample size. I'm a 28.5 rather than a 26.5. Yep, lucky Al. And so I'm really looking forward to getting my foot. I've skied Technica for a number of years, and the modifications, the improvements in the liner that they brought in, they're fantastic, and they look cool. We've talked about it not being important, but we understand it is, in a sense.
Can I just add in, I've skied this boot, skied it in the 120, and I absolutely love it. Yeah. And I'm with you. And now, obviously, we saw these podcasts before, and so I knew you were putting this in because this could have been in my list easily. And the T-drive up the back, this new T-drive that they've got the power from it, Technica make incredible boots. So I am 100% with you here. I skied the 120, not the 130, but yeah, amazing.
Oh, can I ask a quick question? Do you know the price for that one?
£550 off the top of my head. It's between £500 and
£600. Okay, it kind of fits in broadly with the other products that we've been talking about as well. Okay, excellent. Well, like I said, I'm going to put links to all of those into the show notes. And evidently, I'll put link through to Profeet as well. I would highly recommend. They are based in Southwest London. You know, for some listeners, we have listeners all over the world. You're not going to be dropping into Southwest London to get a fitting. But even if you're a reasonable distance away, I would say that it's still worthwhile making the effort to get along, because the service there, I'm not just saying this because they're sponsoring the podcast. Like I say, you know, I've been going to Profeet since 2001 for my ski boots and for my running shoes. And they just are excellent. The staff there know exactly what they're talking about. Al said that Fraser was understating, you know, his own boot fitting skills. I really genuinely recommend them. Let's move on to feedback. I enjoy all feedback about the show. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you have any questions about skis or ski boots that we didn't cover, let us know by leaving a comment at Instagram or Facebook. We are at Ski Podcast, or you can drop me an email at skipodcast@gmail.com. We have had lots of feedback since our last episode. Let me have a quick look at this here. So Adam Matthews on Instagram enjoyed our Best Skis episode. He said, great podcast. Been looking forward to this since last year's episode. Rick on YouTube loved your choice, Al, of the Volcal V-Works 100. He said, I rode this a lot last winter, so much so that I crashed and bust my knee. But seriously, it's an absolutely amazing ski. Now, I wanted to ask you, Al, you said, that there's only a limited number of these skis available. We're talking about them for 2026. How did Rick get hold of one for last year?
Yeah, so the brand started in 1923. 100 years was 2023. So absolutely this ski was about, though. I saw one ski, one of these skis last season, and I couldn't ski one anywhere. So he is a luckier person than I am. Well done, John. I'm very sorry to hear that he hurt himself, because that is not great. We don't wish that on anybody. Amazing that he skied it, and no surprise that he thought it was brilliant.
Okay, I've got another question. This is from Skiing Posty on Spotify. Now, this kind of crosses over between ski boots and skis. But last episode, we were talking about the best skis. And he wondered how much impact the boots that you ski in has on your ski testing.
Perfect. See, they get it. That is absolutely right. If you use a different boot on every ski that we test, you aren't necessarily going to be feeling just what the ski's doing. Yes, there's experience. And yes, I've tested quite a few skis and boots. But if you're going to go and test the P-ski, keep the same boot on for all of those P-skis if you can. If you're going to go and test freeride skis, put your regular freeride boot so you know exactly that the difference that you're feeling is not down the boot, because you know it so much. And that's in an ideal world. Yes, we might swap around a bit. And this is why you don't test in isolation. You have a group of people testing so then you can compare notes and you can, you know, what I feel on a ski will be different to what you feel in, to what Fraser feels. We're all built differently. We ski differently. We have different experiences. So that is why that is important as well. I would say that being in the wrong boot makes a bigger difference to your day on the hill than being on the wrong ski. As I mentioned in that podcast, I've skied powder faces on 65 mil skis. I've skied pieces on 120 mil skis underfoot. The boot is the thing that you want to get right. And that's why you go to somebody like Profi and others, anybody, go to your local boot fair, get fitted, have an honest conversation with them about your skiing, your feet, the struggles that you've had with boots before.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really good advice. And thank you to the various listeners who've contributed. Let us know what you think about this episode and other episodes as well, because we will tackle your questions. Right. There are now 276 episodes of the Ski Podcast to catch up with. I had a look and 171 of those were listened to in the last week. You can do that too. There's so much to listen to in our back catalogue. Just go to theskipodcast.com, search around the tags and categories, and you're bound to find something of interest to you. In the last week, around 60% of our listeners were in the UK. 17% were in the States. Everyone else has spread as far and wide as Taiwan, Morocco and Brazil. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to help the Ski Podcast, there are three things that you can do. You can follow us or subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can give us a review on Apple Podcasts or leave a comment on Spotify. And if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget that you can help the Ski Podcast and save yourself some money on your ski hire by using the code SKIPODCAST when you book at insportrent.com. You'll get a guaranteed additional discount, or simply take the link in the show notes for that discount to be automatically applied. Now, you can follow me at Skipedia, the podcast at the Ski Podcast. You can also follow us on WhatsApp. Look in the show notes for that link. The podcast will be back next week. We'll be finding out more about San Johann in Tyrol, Austria. That will come out just before the London Snow Show. And listeners, if you're thinking about going along, don't forget that Al and I will be on the equipment stage at 10:30 or possibly 10:45, just to be confirmed, on Saturday the 18th. Going through our tips of how to pick the best ski kit for you this winter. Basically, it'll be a version of these podcasts that we produce, but IRL, as the kids say. You can also get free tickets to the show. All the details for that are in the show notes. And I actually think that Profi have a stand at the London show as well. Is that right, Fraser?
Yes, we do. We are near the equipment stage up on that top level. So we'll be there having a chat and, talking all things ski boots. And I think I also have a yet to be confirmed chat on the stage as well. So looking forward to seeing everyone there.
Cool. Well, check the show notes for the details of that. So for today, I'd like to thank my guest, Al. Thank you very much.
Ian, as always, thank you so much. Yeah, great fun.
And Fraser, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Cool. I look forward to catching up with both of you IRL at the London show in a couple of weeks' time. Finally, thank you for joining us, listener, wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.